increasing your presence. It's always good to have you around. We thought we should start. This is a portfolio committee of human settlements. My name is Nopawe Mafu. I'm chairing the portfolio committee. We do have a lot of apologies from honorable members, but we are proceeding nonetheless. We have an apology from Honorable Kadime, who is writing a slam today at the event. She's joining us tomorrow. We have an apology from Honorable Stone, who is attending Public Works Portfolio Committee, so she's not here on both. We have an apology from Honorable Manana, who today and tomorrow is not going to be available, will only be available on Thursday. We have an apology. We have an apology from Honorable Sonyana, who is now today attending economic development because she's serving on both. We'll have what he, but she has promised to join us in the afternoon. So, but by the looks of apologies, we can never really stop the work of the committee because we will never do any work. Unfortunately, because most members, particularly from the smaller parties, are attending and serving in more than two committees. So, we are having an engagement this morning with the AG office, and then in the afternoon, the department is coming through to present. So I thought, let me allow them. They are going to introduce themselves and they tell us who they are. I know some faces, I don't know others. They will introduce themselves and then and we'll start from there. And I thought this topic of this mic must come back more than such. We are here at Tash Hotel because Parliament's venues are all chock-a-block with all committees at work. So there were no venues available at all. So we will be here today and tomorrow, and then we will be at the ministry section of the Liquid Hotel in Rome. So, but we insisted that we have
Good morning. Chair and members. Thank you for having us this morning. My name is Kunai Meiner. I'm the business executive responsible for, amongst others, human settlements in my portfolio. We're a bit bigger team than usual, but it's unique circumstances. You would recall that Ahmed Moula was previously the senior manager. He subsequently resigned in December and he left the office. There was an acting SM for a short while, but we successfully appointed Londa Nooza as the senior manager for human settlements, so he only started as of April. Very fairly new, so he says that he needs a bit of support, so we brought the two managers with, who is Pehu, she's been at the committee previously.
Well, you are scared of coming to the
I'm scared of the detailed question. So it's always good to have that backup and the detail answers available. So Segun is responsible for the audit of the department, and then we've got Malika, and she's responsible for the performance information in the department. So I felt we need to come to bed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and we are welcome. Londonos, next time you come, you don't even need anybody to accompany you. You are welcome in this committee. We also want to welcome Honorable Chris Mabe. This is her first committee meeting that she's attending. We know that when we were having our policy workshop, she had to travel abroad. So so she was not around. So this is the Committee of Human Settlement, Honorable, not a public service. So that's pulling your leg. So you are warmly, warmly welcome. We welcome the officials from both the office of the Deputy Minister and the office of the Minister, just to be able to hear what the HG will say about the department, so that they can be able to report to the principal. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's it. And PMG is here. Okay, and PMG is here. And the support staff from for the committee. We will then allow you to go through the presentation. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, in the beginning of every year, at the value add, we go through the draft APP for the next year to come. So for the 18-19 year, we would have went through the final draft. And the purpose is really to be at the value add, because we will identify findings, allow the department to correct those findings, but it's not necessarily part of the audit that we are busy in and that we're going to conclude on. So when we look at our reputation promise, I mean, it's also linking to that, to say that we want to enable also the oversight of that information that we've identified during that review. We also did the high-level risk analysis, what we now call the status of records review, and we would also like to share with you the findings that we've identified during that review, specifically for the Department of Human Settlement. So we hope that the information will also assist you in terms of the role that you are playing on the annual report. As I said, the purpose today is to give you insights in terms of the early review that we did on the 1819 ADP, and then it's also to give you the key areas that we've identified during our high-risk assessment. And if we go into the ADP, specifically, as I mentioned, we are looking at the 2018-19, and we looked at the final draft ADP. So it's after DPME, it's really the final one before it's been submitted for approval. We will look at measurability and relevance. At this moment, we can't look at consistency and presentation, because that is really at the end of the year. We will look whether they've reported on what was approved and whether the presentation is in line with what the prescripts are saying. So the focus will be on the relevance and measurability, whether it's smart, well-defined, whether it's aligned to the NTSF. So when we look at the committee and the role that we see the committee is playing in this process, the first question should be, is the APP aligned to the NTSF? The NTSF is the mandate, is the role, the primary role of the department. And it's important that if we want to effect and make sure that the NTSF is being executed, that the annual performance plan is in line with that. So that will be the first question. Then we will look at whether the indicators are relevant and complete. So if there's certain requirements or primary responsibilities within the NTSF, we will make sure that there's a link and that all of those are addressed in the APP and that it's relevant to the mandate. The next step will be to see whether there's a logic link between the indicators, the objectives, and the targets. And from there, so that is more the high-level review to say, is this appropriate in line with the department's mandate, with their objectives for a five-year term? The next step then is to say, when we look at the APP, is the targets there in SMART? So is it specific, measurable, time-bound, and relevant? Going from there is to say, if the department has a plan, do they have enough resources? Because it doesn't help to have a plan, but from the onset on, we know that they don't have the funds or the human resources to execute that specific plan and to make sure that it is achievable at the end of the day. And then we also need to make sure to say that if there's a plan, if there's adequate resources, how is this plan going to be executed? And that is where we start looking at, is there like performance contracts for a DG, for a DDG, also for senior management that will guide them for the year and then make sure that they work and do their work for the year in terms of the APP so that they can be successful in implementing the plan. And then the committee will further then look at, as the year progresses and starts, is the quarterly review and then the annual review, and if there's any changes throughout the year on the approved APP, is to make sure that we understand why there's changes, what is driving the changes, what is the impact of the changes, if there was money spent on indicators that is now being removed, what happened to the money, and just understand what was driving the need for the change. From the audit side, as I said, we are looking at the measurability and the relevance of the indicators that have been presented. And when we report, we will include the findings on the 18-19 and the 17-18 interim report, but it will not affect the audit outcome for the 17-18 year. As I say, for us, it's really like a value add. We want the department to be aware of that so that they can fix it, so that in 18-19 when we come, there's not unnecessary findings on usefulness of the indicators and the targets that they that are then being audited on. So when we look at measurability, we will specifically look whether the indicators are well defined. If there is a reason, it can be understand what is expected. So it mustn't be unclear, it must be very clear and specific and understandable, well defined. The indicators must be verifiable, so we must be able to verify what they want to do, and they should be supporting evidence at the end of the day, and it should be clear in terms of what they're going to present and how it's going to be supported. Targets are specific, measurable, and time-bound, so that is the usual SMART principle. So it must be clear, you should be able to measure it, and there should be specific times attached to it. And then the last part that we look at, the relevance that I mentioned, is the indicator should be relevant to the mandate. So whatever Human Settlement's mandate is and what they set out to do, at the end of the day, the indicators and the targets should support the relevance of the mandate and should be in line with that. So when you look at the 18-19 that we've now reviewed earlier this year, we selected program 2 and 3. When we look at relevance, the alignment to the mandate, we didn't find any findings there. So both program 2 and 3, all the indicators in there were relevant. When we look at measurability, we did identify findings on indicators not being well defined for both program 2 and program 3. So program 2, just a bit of detail there. The first 1.1, indicator 1.1, it says approved National Human Settlements Development Plan. So when we just look at the word approved, it wasn't clear to say who was approved. Is it the DG? Is it the DDG? Is it who will be the acceptable person to approve this plan? And that is the finding that we've then issued to the department to say it wasn't clear who should approve this. 1.2 say number of partnerships mobilized towards human settlement development. Once again, it wasn't clear which stakeholders would be targeted to enter into partnerships with. So the technical indicator descriptions didn't provide a clear expectation of the targeted stakeholders that will be focused on during the year. And the last one where we had a finding was indicator number 2.4 that says percentage of projects under implementation assessed for policy compliance. So we weren't clear in terms of which projects are being referred to and also which policies they were referred to which should be compliant with. So all of these findings have been communicated to the department and they have addressed it. So we've also already confirmed and they have agreed on all of this. So as we stand now, everything in program 2 is well defined and it's relevant as well as well. So program 3, there was a bit more findings that we've identified, and it's all also in terms of being well defined. Indicator 1.2 says support provided for the implementation of the catalytic program. So support is a very difficult word, and it can mean a lot of things. So it's important that the department is very clear in terms of what support they intend they're going to provide. And when we read the technical indicator descriptions, the TID, it wasn't clear what they meant with support. I mean, when we look at this, it's not specific at human settlements, but at other audits we're out with, they will say we need to support Department X. And then at the end of the day, they provide attendance registers. And they said, well, we've attended meetings, and through attending meetings, we've provided support. but they weren't clear in the beginning. So then you have the question, is attending a meeting really support? And just in line with that, it's very important that they are very clear to say, how are they going to support? Is it financial support? Is it guidance, technical support? What type of support they're going to provide? Then indicator 1.8, it says support provided on the implementation of private affordable rental programs. So there the support was clarified, but the TID was clear in terms of the evidence that is going to be provided. So that makes it very difficult. If we don't know what evidence is going to be provided, not just for us, but also for the department, because there needs to be consistency in terms of how they collect the information so that they can report accurately and completely at the end of the financial reporting year. So what we've identified for indicator 1.8 is that they weren't clear on what they're going to collect and what they're going to use as evidence. 1.9, similar, support provided on the implementation of social housing program. They were also not clear on what the evidence is that they're going to collect and what they're going to provide in terms of the audit process. And it's very important, I mean, when we do the audit, we always say we just walk back in the footsteps of the department. It's not our responsibility to go there and say we want this evidence or we want that evidence. It's for the department to identify beforehand to say we need this type of evidence and this is what we're going to collect and this is what we're going to maintain to, in order at the end of the day, be in a position to report reliably on an indicator that was approved in the APB. And 1.10 was the same. Support provided on the implementation of community residential units. TID was also not clear in terms of the evidence what should be provided and collected. And then the last one in terms of the APB was 1.14. Number of provinces supported in the delivery of housing opportunities to military veterans. Once again, the word support wasn't clear to say how did the department intend in supporting in achieving this objective. As I said, similarly to Program 2, these findings were communicated to the department. They've already addressed it, and we've confirmed that they've sufficiently addressed it to make sure that it is well defined.
All of them.
All of them.
No?
All of them. Status of records review, our high-level assessment. So when we look at it, it's basically, previously we had the key controls that we did on a quarterly basis. We decided that we need to have a bit more focus on the things that matter and that can trip the department in getting modified outcomes, non-compliance findings, so that they can be aware of what those things are, they can put action plans in place. So from our side, it's to identify those areas. We will then do an assessment on those areas to say how significant is it, is it really such that they need urgent intervention or is it just for them to be aware and implement corrective actions. Then we will assess the progress that is being made against that and we identify matters in terms of recommendations, corrective measures that should be put in place to address it. So status of records review, we always had the smiley faces, so we've moved away from the smiley faces to the red faces. Now we have this diagram, so it's just on a high level. We're looking at the key focus areas. So when we look at this one, we can say that there's nothing that requires urgent intervention from the high level review that we did in February at the department. Also, when we look at the colors, we can see that majority of them stayed the same compared to the previous year when we did the key control, with human resources that actually improved. So the ones that is highlighted as being concerning was financial management, performance management, compliance management, and then IT. So when we go into financial management, what we've identified during the interim and then the 6 months financial statement, that there was incorrect classification of financial assets in the financial statements. So once again, it's so important for the department. We completed the 17-18 financial year. They, in the process of preparing financial statements, make sure that their processes are sound in terms of making sure they are accurate and complete in terms of what they report in the financial statements. They must make sure that there's processes of review, get internal audit in, because once we get the final set of financial statements, if we then still identify material adjustments, it can either result in a qualification if they don't correct it, or at the minimum it will become a non-compliance finding, because the PFMA is saying that they must submit accurate, complete financial statements. So if we find that there was material omissions in that financial statements that we've received to audit, or material errors, such as incorrect classification, there will be a non-compliance paragraph saying that the department had to go back and they had to make material corrections to the financial statements. So as we have identified this now during the interim audit, it's important that they sharpen their year-end processes to make sure that the set of financial statements don't have material corrections in. Then performance management. During our initial review that we had earlier in the year, we found that the availability of evidence to support the eradication of the title deed wasn't sufficient. So there was a lot of engagement with the department, and it was as recent as last week where the department now provided feedback and also indicated what evidence they will have. And we've confirmed that the evidence that they are going to provide to us will be sufficient. So it's now a matter of auditing it to say, is the evidence supporting what they're reporting? So this was based on quarter three. When we did the review on quarter three, we said that there's not sufficient evidence to support what you're reporting on the eradication of title deeds. And because it's such a material indicator, if it's materially misstated or we find that there's differences with the evidence, it will become a qualification for the performance information. So although we don't express an opinion in a financial statement, there will be a paragraph in the audit report to indicate that we couldn't find supporting documentation. Then IT management, what we found during our review is that there's weak user access management controls. So that's your usual controls, password control, changing of passwords, making sure that unauthorized users can't easily access your system. So we did identify in the review that there is some weaknesses in terms of protecting access to their system. And then the last one is the key service delivery matters. Last year when we came, we raised the concern to say that the department don't have customized indicators. We've engaged with the DG. He indicated to us at the beginning of the year that they've now implemented customized indicators. But when we went into the review, there's still not customized indicators. So there's a bit of a difference in understanding. So the department feels that because they have business plans in place, that constitutes customized indicators. But when we audit AOPO and the performance information, we don't audit the business plans to report on in the audit report. We audit the APP. So if the business plans don't filter into as customized indicators in the APP, there's still a risk that there's inconsistency in what the different provinces are measuring, which will impact on the department's ability to report on a consistent indicator as a national indicator. So that is still a concern. We did highlight it, there's continuous discussions, and maybe the team can elaborate in terms of the latest discussion. But we did indicate that there's a need to meet with DPME and to engage further on this matter so that the customized indicators can be implemented. It will not just only help the department, it will also help in terms of the audit process, because then we know all the provinces are auditing the same thing consistently, and it can be rolled up for national. So it will also assist in terms of complete accurate reporting and consistent reporting, but it will also assist in terms of efficiencies in the audit process. So those were the key things. I mean, historically the department has been unqualified, one or two non-compliant. So also, as we said in the beginning, when I was under colours at the movement, most of the things that we've reviewed stayed the same. But I think if they can look at the financial statements, make sure they don't have non-compliance there, make sure the evidence is there for the performance information, we can see and they can make sure that there's further improvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Any additions from the team?
No, thanks, Chair. I think the PE has really covered, in fact, let me say, everything that we had planned to present. I think the last issue, we really are engaging the department on the issue on the customized indicators. I had a brief chat with the DG PG as well this morning, and then we will strive to convince the department to ensure that these customers indicators are in the ATPs across the sector. Because like the BE said, it will be beneficial for everyone, us from an audit process point of view, as well as the department in terms of reporting consistently across within the provinces as well.
Thank you very much to the AG team. That's the presentation of honorable members. And I suspect the last part which they are stressing on is very critical for us as well, and it's something that we've been raising with them, because it fits exactly to the challenges that we've been having with them in terms of how provinces perform, which is not, and I know Honorable Malaz has always been asking this question when we deal with the department in terms of when you say this province has performed better than the other, what is the criteria that you are using, so that we are able to know that the assessment is the same. So for me, this is a very critical point that you've raised. But anyway, that's the report, honorable members. Let's engage it. I'm opening up to you, and I will see by the indication again if there's anything that needs to be raised. Yes, honorable Malazi, followed by honorable Mabe. Anybody else that wants to speak? You don't know. Remember, I'm still pointing hands. Don't rush, honorable Malazi. Slow down. honorable Baha, you don't want to say anything yet. You will decide.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take the two hands. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, a large part of what I had prior to the presentation has in a way been answered during the presentation. But there's just something that I want to establish, because for me it would seem that, you know, the issue rises more so in the framing of, you know, on the department's targets, you know, indicators, so that by the time you come to measure the outcomes and the correlation between those indicators and targets, that's where the difficulty rises, you know, because, and I don't want to attribute it to either clumsy framing or what, but, you know, the way in which the language around targets, around indicators is used, is problematic, in the sense that, you know, when you get to the stage of, you know, interrogating the evidence or seeking the evidence, some of those things become easily answerable during that process. But the framing aspect of it, you know, for me, that's where the crux of the problem becomes, because in some instances there's a lot of ambiguity and lack of just concise clarity as to, like, what it means, for instance, on the Title V program, when it says that support provided to provinces on Title V on the Title V program performance. And when you measure that performance, you know, and you engage the provinces individually, the picture becomes quite different. So I just wanted to know, based on that and your constant engagement with the department, because a lot of this at this stage happens very retrospectively. So there's very little intervention that we can make at this stage. But is there any proactive, you know, effort from the department side that show that there is an upward movement in terms of, you know, what has been raised? Because I think personally it would be less productive to raise everything in retrospect and then suddenly the evidence becomes available, because we're talking about valuable time, you know, for all parties concerned. So that there is that awareness from the department side that even in the framing of targets and the framing of indicators and goals, you know, there is a thought in mind that this can be accounted to based on the body of evidence, so that that process of, you know, verification does not become a cumbersome administrative process, but is a process that seeks to enrich the performance of the department and showcase its impact on delivery. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Mother.
Never must hello.
Don't forget, this is your maiden speech.
Oh, I'll try.
No heckling.
My bad. Oh, no heckling. Okay, thanks, Chair. Firstly, let me applaud the department for its clean audit with no findings. Also, to mention that in the setup of key focus areas, they have clearly said that there's nothing that requires high level of intervention. So we want to say to them, thank you very much for having done everything possible, at least to remain, to retain the clean audit. What I have come across is that I might be wrong, but I think that the technicality on the indicators on all their programs, it is the use of weights. They've used wrong weights, so which is something that can be improved, because when you look at their programs and what they've implemented, for me, there's value for money, which will then make me more worried as a politician to say your programs are not. Where they were not value, they did not add value in terms of the money that you were. So for that, Chair, we applaud them. The Auditor General's Office, Chair, is saying that the issuing of title deeds, it solely remains the responsibility of the National Department. I pick that up as well, because if that program is not rolled out, it's not provinces, it's not the municipality that's going to be blamed, but it's the national government that is going to be held responsible. So they need to come up with a program, make sure that in provinces, in municipalities where there's non-movement, they then come in and start rolling the program of title deeds. I just wanted to highlight that I think there's not much that the AG that has raised, and also acknowledge that, you know, for the department to implement their program, they depend on provincial government also. So for them to have maintained the clean audit, it's a plus for us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I thought, Chair, I will just wait and hear what the other members are in and then sum up their
You want to be the assistant chair?
I think, Chair, I'm making work easier for you. No, thank you, Chair. Chairman, I think that for me, this report is mainly for us to note, because I think it's going to assist us as we interrogate the APPs that are represented by the department itself. I think it gives us areas that we must look out for, and I think what is also encouraging is the fact that there's already engagement that is taking place between the department and the AG, which means that I guess these are issues that would be addressed when they present the APP. So I think it's just to say to us, look out for these areas, and if they have not alluded to caution that is presented by the AG, then we'll be in a position to pick up those criteria. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Baha and Honorable Member. You are right, the whole purpose of this interaction is to make you a little bit brighter in the afternoon when you interact with the department when they present. But there are two areas, because I think for me, when I'm listening to the presentation, there's a clear correlation of the audit outcome of the department and what we are doing now here. Because if you look at this presentation, the issue of IT is a bit of a problem for me, because it always appears in the audit outcome as a problem. And here, the AG has also picked up as an area that the department is not necessarily doing much about it. I hear them when they speak about the issue of the customized indicators, because the argument of the department then says the business plans are there, and therefore for them they think the business plans are adequate to actually see that discussion taking place. I don't hear them say the discussion around this thing of IT, because it's been a constant outcome. And I just want them to comment on that in their interaction with the department. The second part is that even though the members have raised this issue of the entities, which we have picked up, because you correctly saying if it's not corrected, and it might lead to a qualification, and which means therefore it's something that we must look out for. And we can tell you here and now that this is one area that is a problem for us as a portfolio audit in terms of performance of the department around the issue of LLD. It is such a problem that the department is actually even trying to look at how they have to handle it differently than how they've been handling it. So for me, what then you have outlined here in terms of performance management, and you're saying there is not sufficient appropriate audit evidence around this issue. The interaction that you are having with the department, I would like to hear more about it around this issue of equity. It's a big issue. It's a big issue for us. It's something that we would want to see a better management and a better performance of the department around it. So it would be nice to actually tell us. I'm quite impressed by the fact that you picked up two programs, program two and program three. But look, program three has always been the worst performing of the department in terms of audit outcome. And I know you know this because you've been that. Program three, the department has never reached above 80%. Now, so for me, then the thing that we have lifted out in program two, which already you say they've already been corrected, for already to me they speak to a bigger problem. That's one of the reasons why the performance is not as adequate as it should be, because as they do this indicator, they are not able to actually, because when then you put the indicators in such a way that support, you are not able to qualify it. That's what then leads to the outcome at the end of the day, that you are not able to do it well. So I just want you to explain more that interaction with yourselves, not even though you are saying they've all been addressed. But my concern and my problem is that this is one program that the government is not doing great. And it's one program that is actually the heartbeat of the department, because it deals with actually the entire delivery of the human services. So if you can probably just indulge us a little bit more around there, so that in the afternoon when we speak to them, we are more brighter and more intelligent. They don't see us coming, you know, and they realize that, yes, they are dealing now with experts. But I just wanted you to just deal with those, particularly program three. Program three is a major problem for them.
Thank you, Chair. I'll ask Malika and Sengu to deal in terms of the engagement and the interaction. I just want to pick up in terms of where we're saying that they use the wrong words, or in terms of the planning, and I fully agree. This is the plan for the next year. If it's not clear cut, I mean, there's a saying that say if you don't plan, and I suppose if you don't plan properly, you plan for failure. So it all starts with this document in terms of what they envisage and how they're going to execute their performance for 18-19. So being more proactive, I would recommend to them to say when they prepare the SEP, they must, in a similar way that they will have review processes for their financial statements, have review processes for the APD. I mean, they have different levels in terms of seniority for review. They've got internal audit in there. DPME is coming in. We are actually really the last leg of reviews, and yet still after that, we still identify. So my recommendation and be more proactive is to say, place more attention on it, apply your minds. I mean, this is not the first year, it's now a couple of years when this is starting, 2004, 2005, drafting APPs. So it should become more comfortable now to say, what does it mean to have smart indicators, well-defined indicators? Test themselves against it, have their internal review processes. So even though we're coming and saying this is a proactive review and it's a value-add review, it's saving everybody time if they start applying their minds and have their own review processes when they prepare the APPs for submission. And maybe just a clarity, the department has been unqualified last year, but they still had non-compliance findings and they had AOPO findings. But they have maintained their unqualified for a number of years. So just for myself. So if I can also take between you and Malika, just the engagements on the IT title deeds program, please.
Okay, in terms of engagements with management, we have discussed the title deeds issue with management, CFO, as well as the AOPO management at the department. We also met with the DDG on strategy, and we discussed the findings on the next SB quite in detail. There was a bit of disagreement initially, but we explained to him it needs to be smart for us to audit it next year. We know what things mean, it's obviously easy to the evidence as well. So they agreed ultimately to the extent of the smart criteria findings. In terms of the title GSP issue, I think last year there's no evidence, which could just receive last year. This year they are actually going to get evidence by using the deeds relationship to the deeds office as confirmation of the title deeds. That is external information as well for us, which will make us happier that in terms of evidence. So we've discussed that also with the DDG, the management, and the DG as well. So I think in terms of strategic evidence, will be better this year, going forward.
And then just to touch on the IT user access, IT user access management is important in order to prevent unauthorized access. So this year, the problem was that there's no monitoring of system controllers access. So those the controllers who actually get into the IT system, specifically for Paracel, there's no monitoring of those system controllers. And there was no evidence as well to show that the monitoring actually took place. And we concluded that there was no monitoring. The department could not provide us with evidence to show that they actually did monitor system controllers access to systems. It's a repeat finding. It has occurred. It has been in the MR for quite some time.
And your engagement with them?
Because they don't have the evidence to show, we do recommend on a yearly basis that the steps that they should follow to ensure that they actually keep record of the monitoring that takes place. So they do argue that there is monitoring taking place. However, we can't verify that because of the lack of information or something. For the past, I think 2-3 years, the issue was that there were no skills or there were vacancies. But I think they have subsequently appointed those critical vacancies that they previously didn't have people in.
I think the main problem for Grant 3 is the fact that I think what the PC needs to understand study is we audit two things in AOPO. We audit usefulness, which is a smart criteria, and we audit evidence liability. So for us, if something is if the department doesn't achieve on something, but they give us evidence for that achievement, it will still probably be clean in terms of the whole thing. That's the problem we have. So
through you, Chair. I think from someone who's coming in and is new in the process, the one interaction that I had with the department is the workshop that Courtney mentioned, which we had last week. In my view, I think the one challenge is perhaps understanding of processes. Because management is of the view that perhaps as the office, we do not really understand their processes, and from where we come from, we say perhaps management is not fully grasping the audit process. I think the challenge is perhaps getting the two parties to really understand each other's processes, so that when we ask for information and we raise issues, management understands where we are coming from, and perhaps when management is responding then to those issues that we are raising, we also maybe also understand where they are coming from. So I think from the workshop that we had, that is something that I sort of picked up, that perhaps that's where we need to work in terms of us understanding our process, and perhaps from our side also making sure that management and all the people that are responsible or are involved in the audit, understand our processes and the audit process as a whole. So that's something that I picked up, that perhaps it's something that we just need to work on between us and the department.
Thank you very much to the HS office. And I think I don't know if there's any other person who's got any issue, but I think from where we are sitting, we just want to have that appreciation of the fact that that process of engagement between ourselves and the department is ongoing. It mustn't take place only when there's going to be APPs, and then where's going to be an audit to take place, but it should be a continuous process, because one of the reasons for it is that it is an ongoing learning process for everybody involved, yourselves and them. But also it makes, and once that synergy is reached, the work of the portfolio committee becomes easy, because then by the time the department comes to us as the portfolio committee, there's little that you have found out, because that has been cleared. So for me, I'm quite happy with what you guys are raising, that saying you had a workshop last week with them, and you have picked up the fact that there is that lack of understanding, which therefore forces that there should be an ongoing engagement between yourselves. We want to appreciate that. And we are quite comforted by what you have shared with us. Because when they come at this afternoon, in the afternoon, when they come with that document that is written using all these funny words and titles, but we'll be able to pick up the things that we want to understand, because one of the big things that you always impart on us is that the APP must be aligned to the MJF. And for me, if that we can be able to see that that's what is happening, it makes it easy, even for us when we do look at the department in every quarter and how they are performing, because that is their class. So thank you very much. I don't know, honorable members, if there's anything you want to ask from the HS office. They are not always here. You see them twice a year. So particularly because Londoloza is coming here for the first time, show love. Sorry, doesn't say again when he comes, I'm new. He's no longer new. he's now. Thank you very much. If there's nothing, we just want to appreciate your time. I know this time of the year you are overstretched with all the pieces, looking for your guidance and your wife. So we appreciate that, the time that you spent with us. And as we always say, when we need you and we say, can you come and clarify certain things, you will come. You don't have to wait for it. So when you have to come again, you must be welcome. Thank you very much. I think we're done from our side. Anything else? You've learned? Okay. So we can release.
Thank you very much.
We
somebody who's going to be in the affair when the department presents? Not really?
No, Chair, our invite is to 12:30, so I don't think anybody...
Okay. I was just thinking that when they... But it's also fine, because you've also told us what to look out for. They are coming to present it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Marat, do you want to say something?
For initiation.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The next item, there is an item on our group, right? Is the minutes, don't worry. And then we will break. The next item is the minutes of the 20th of March, where we had a briefing by Mangaung and the Free State Province. Mangaung was briefing us on the USDG and the province. Those minutes, the meeting was at S26, Committee Room S26, and the SOP. I just want to say, move
what's the date, bro?
Yeah, it's your problem. Yeah.
No.
For the minute. And the second one?
The second one.
Yes, Honorable Members. The second one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Honorable Members, I know the program says department will come in at 2.
Yeah.
So this is, we don't finish late. Because we're going to have a long break anyway. Now we're going to break. So I thought, we've already communicated with them. So they will be here at 1:30 to present. So you still have your 2-hour break anyway. So you can go and do certain things, and then they will come and present their APP. But lunch is at 1:00. We're gonna ask them to actually have lunch ready at 12:30. So that at least you lunch at 12:30 department is here at 1:30. Any other thing whilst we can use the time, I know that you are dying to ask me about the overseas trip. I'll let you know. During the course of the day, I'll let you know during the course of the day. Let's take that break. Go to your offices, do what you want to do, and lunch will be at 12:30, and then we then have the department at 12:30. Anything else?
I said, when is the party?